I'd like to turn to a couple of passages of Scripture, and I'd like to read them first before we begin to speak about them. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. We're going to read a couple of portions of Scripture in the Old Testament and how God had a message for a couple of kings of Israel, and how each one of those kings, two kings, we don't have much time tonight, but two kings, and how they reacted, what their response was to a very special message given from God Himself to these kings. Let's read in chapter 34, verse 1, 2 Chronicles. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Well, let's skip down to verse 14. It says there that when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found a book of the law in the house of God, the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes and commanded the king. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And then down to verse 30. Well, let's read verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. Now just turn over to Jeremiah chapter, I think it's chapter 29. No, it's chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. We'll read in verse 1. It came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And then read down to verse 20, Jeremiah 36, verse 20. They went into the king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jeduthai to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudai read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the 9th month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass, when Jehudai had read 3 or 4 leaves, he cut it in with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Then I'd like to read in John's Gospel, chapter 12, right at the end of John's Gospel, chapter 12. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Then I just have one other passage that I'd like to read, just one little sentence actually, in chapter 10 of John's Gospel, verse 36. Just the end of it. John 10 and verse 36, just the last sentence. "I said, I am the Son of God." Dear friends, tonight, God went to a lot of effort. He went to a lot of expense to give you his word tonight. He went to a lot of effort to have these meetings organized and to have the liberty of the Spirit, to have his word presented in faithfulness to you, to your soul tonight. And the day is just about up. You know what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 of a little boy, Josiah, who was 8 years old. And when he received a word from God, he received a copy of the book of the law. He was, I believe, 20 years old. It says in chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles that he was 8 years old when he came to reign. The eighth year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And then it says in the 12th year that he began to work in the energy of faith to cleanse the land. He was 20 years old when he began to do that work. And 12 speaks of the age of responsibility oftentimes in Scripture. But we heard last night of a boy who was 7 years old who bought himself a Bible. Every one of us has a Bible here. Every one of us. Do you know that there are some boys in this world that don't have a Bible? Some girls that don't have a Bible? Some in North America that don't have a Bible? This man grew up in a country that was the most religious country on the face of the planet. It was a place, it says in Romans, it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Much in every way, because unto them are delivered the oracles of God, that God himself had spoken to his people and had given them the word of God, so that they might walk in light instead of darkness." But you know, at the end of the kingdom of Judah, in Josiah's day, they had lost it. And here comes a man to the king of Judah, and he says, "I found a book of the law." And he read it to him. And it had an effect upon him because, you know, God was speaking of judgment. But he spoke of love, too. You know, the last letter that the Lord spoke, the last prophecy that he gave to his people, he says this, "I have loved you, saith the Lord." A little later on, he says, "I'm the Lord, I change not." Isn't that nice? "I'm the Lord. I change not. I have loved you, saith the Lord." But you know, the Lord loved his people enough that he was going to discipline them if they required discipline. And they couldn't live in the land of Israel without him. He had said to them, you know, that let's look at it in just hold your place there in 2 Chronicles 34. Let's look in Deuteronomy and read that verse of scripture that the Lord quoted in chapter 8. He quoted when he was in the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're just going to read the last part of it. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Did you know that when man fell into sin, he sinned against God, he disobeyed the word of God, he lost his ability to think straight. He lost his ability to find God. He became blind. He became dead in trespasses and sins. And God wanted to have a relationship with man. And he gave him a word that was a word that could give life. A word that could give power with power. And a word that would present himself and his love to his people. And point them to that road of repentance. And in the Old Testament, he gave them an offering that by the blood of an offering they might have atonement. We read that verse yesterday, I believe it was, given in the gospel. I have given you the blood upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement. O God has made every provision through his work of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary and the shedding of his precious blood to cleanse us from all sin. Well, you know, this man Josiah, he got a copy of God's law, the Word of God, the first five books of the Bible that you have in your book, in your Bible. He got a copy of it. And what did he do? He read it. And it had an effect upon his soul. You know, there's men and women in this room, by the grace of God, brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can say honestly in your life that the one thing that made a difference in your life is that you read the Word of God and you believed what he had to say. And it made an effect upon your life. It changed the course of your life. You know, when God gave this book to Josiah, this book of the law, it had a change. It created a change in his life. And he wanted to walk in obedience to what he read in the Word of God. You know how long it takes you to read the Word of God from cover to cover? There was a man who was under deep conviction of sin, exercise of soul, and he wanted to know what this book said when he was under conviction. And he began to read, and he read the whole Bible through. It took him 45 hours. Not very long. He read the whole letter, and he got saved. It had an effect upon his life. Has it had an effect upon your life? You've heard that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world by that man whom he hath appointed. The judge is appointed. And God is presenting tonight in love to your soul an opportunity to confess that you're a sinner before him and to come into the light and to receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. You'll pardon a personal illustration, little story. Every one of us that know the Lord Jesus, we got saved. Every one of us has a different story. And my father was brought up in a Roman Catholic home. And at 8 years old, he lived in Timmins, Ontario. A cold, cold place. They had a little farm there, my Grandpa Boulard. And he lived next door to a farmer, a believer, an old man, an old woman, childless, loved the Lord. The man had asthma. He could hardly work. His wife did the farm chores. And he would argue with my Grandpa Boulard about the things of God. And the old farmer, he said to my Grandpa Boulard, he said, could I give the boys, Roland and Real, my father's name is Real, he said, could I give the two boys a Bible? I can't afford to buy two Bibles. Can I give them one Bible? And the old man, my grandpa said, yeah, it's all right. It's a good book. Can't hurt them. And so, you know, Roland, my Uncle Roland didn't have too much of an interest, but my dad was 8 years old. And he took that little Bible. At 4 years old, he had cried all day. It was his birthday. He'd cried all day. You know why he cried? He said he was going to die. And he wasn't ready to die. He didn't know that he would pass into eternity and pass into the presence of the Savior. He was afraid to die. At 4 years old, he cried all day. They couldn't console him. God doesn't want you to be afraid tonight. He wants you to be afraid of perishing, but he doesn't want you to be afraid of him, because God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave everything that he had that he might present you with life, eternal life, that you might have your sins forgiven. He gave everything that you might not perish. Do you know the Lord Jesus is your Savior? My daddy, when he was 4 years old, didn't know Christ, and he was afraid. Well, he went up to his room with that Bible at 8 years old, and he started to read it. The old man had told him to read in John's Gospel and Romans. And he started to read in John's Gospel, and he came downstairs a little while later. He said, Dad, he says, you know what this book says? And he started to tell him, give him the Gospel. And Grandpa Boulard said, well, you know, you can't understand that book. If you read it, you'd have to read it 10 times before you could understand it. And so he went up into his room and he read it 10 times, the same passage. And he came downstairs. He said, Dad, it still says the same thing. And Grandpa Boulard said, well, you know, if you read that book, the Roman Catholic priest tells you that you'll go crazy. And so, you know, my grandpa, my dear daddy, at 8 years old, had begun to read the Word of God. And he said to himself, he didn't answer his daddy, you know, he said, what good is a book if I read it that I can't understand it? If I do read it, I go crazy. And so he put it aside. And he didn't read it for 12 years. He didn't read it. And then, you know, he started to work on the railway, and he came to live in a rooming house, and he came into a room, and they had two rooms in the bunkhouse, two beds in the same room. He started to put his stuff away in the drawers and so on. He took this Bible with him, and he put it on the nightstand, and there was a man in the next bed, lying on his bed. His name is Bert Houle. And Bert Houle looked at that Bible and said, do you read that Bible? He said, no, I can't. If you read that book, you can't understand it. And Bert Houle said this to him, don't you know that the Roman Catholic priest tells you just a big pack of lies? That's all it is, a big pack of lies. You need to read God's Word. Well, dear boys and girls, young people, have you read God's Word? I'm ashamed of myself, and I stand here and tell you the truth. I'm ashamed of myself. I did not read God's Word from cover to cover until after I was 18 years old. Have you read it? Have you read God's message? Have you believed it? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? He's telling you the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This king, when he got a copy of the Word of God, it was read in his presence, and it had an effect upon him. It changed his life. I want to tell you this. Young person, child, tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you read this book, it'll change your life. It'll change how you think. It'll change how you act. And by the grace of God, if you read it in his presence and dependence upon him, you'll use your life for his glory instead of wasting it in this scene. Are you wasting your life? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you believed the message? This king believed the message. He wept. It says in this 2 Chronicles chapter 34 that in verse 19, it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And then he wanted a message from God. It had an effect upon his soul. He repented. Have you repented? You know what repentance is? It's really a French word. I think of it as a French word. Maybe it's the same word in Spanish and some other languages. But repense means to rethink. Man doesn't think right, can't think right apart from the Word of God. He needs the light of the Word of God so that his conscience is brought into the light. Has your conscience been brought into the light of the Word of God? Have you rethought and begun to think the way God thinks? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God doesn't want you to die in your sins. He made every provision to have you in eternity with himself. Well, you know, my daddy, when he went to work 20 years old on the railway, he took this Bible with him. And one day there was a holiday weekend and they had a pass on the railway because they worked for the railway. Bert and my father, Real, took the train, and Bert said, "Why don't you come over to my place, to Arundel, to my parents' house near Rockaway Valley, Quebec." And so they took the train. There were three boys, three Hool boys. Bert, Claude, and Gabriel. And my dad. And there was a bar two doors down from my Grandma Hool's house. And they spent all day in the Saturday at the bar. And then they spent all day Lord's Day at the bar. And on Lord's Day evening, my Grandma Hool sent my mother over to the bar. She says, "Boys, Ma says you're driving her to the gospel meeting." And they said, no, we can't do that. We've got our buddy Real here, and he's Roman Catholic. He can't go. Well, she said, "Ma said you're driving her to the gospel meeting." And those boys didn't want to go to the gospel meeting. I tell you today that I believe all three of them were saved. I don't know if they were saved at that time, but they didn't want to go to the gospel meeting. They didn't want to hear the word of God. But my mother said, "Ma says you're driving her to the gospel meeting." And they knew the gig was up, that they were going to drive her. And so they worked my dad over to go, and he said, no, he says, "I'm Roman Catholic, I can't go to a Protestant place, Roman Catholic priest would kill me." No, he wasn't going. Well, they worked him over, and finally he said, "Well, I will go, I'll sit at the back, in the back row, right by the door, and as soon as the preacher says, amen, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to walk out the door." And that's what he did. There was a man there that preached the gospel that night. His name was Mr. McDowell. I said to my dad, "What did he preach about?" He says, "I don't know. But when he said amen, I stood up. And I turned around and I was almost out the door. And this big hand reached down on me, on my shoulder, and turned me around. And started to talk to me some more. And put some gospel tracts in my shirt pocket. One of them was The Matchless Pearl. And he says, "I got saved reading The Matchless Pearl." Are you saved, boys and girls? Have you read the Sunday school paper and believed the message of the Sunday school paper? The grace and the kindness of our God to give you light as to the way of salvation. Here's a man, 20 years old, never heard the gospel of the grace and kindness of God. And then, you know, he went back to the bunkhouse and he started to read that Bible at 20 years old. And it made a change in his life. I say tonight, dear one in this audience, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's one thing that the soul that knows the Lord, the believer that knows the Lord, the lifeline to Christ Himself, the lifeline to God Himself is the Word of God. And there is no substitute for the Word of God. Are you reading it? I quoted a verse of Scripture not too long ago to a young person, and they said, well, that's just your opinion, that's just your interpretation. Oh, it grieved me to the heart. God went to great expense, I say, great effort to give you this message. Have you read it? It's not just an opinion. Don't treat this book as a divine suggestion book, but as the Word of the living God. Well, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 36. This man, the king, had a different reaction to the Word of God. Did you know that God, the Son, Jehovah, dictated a letter to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah dictated it to his scribe Baruch, and Baruch wrote it by hand, a scroll. How'd you like to have a letter written directly from the heart of God to you? I want to tell you, he wrote 70 books. If you count the 5 books of the Psalms, the Lord Jesus, who loved you and gave Himself for you, gave you 70 letters to read. 70 books. 70 palm trees. Have you read them? Just read a part of the letter. Brother Jim last night spoke of a letter that he read. A man read. He read partway through the letter. He said, boy, I don't like this. I don't like this story. I don't think I'm going to finish reading this letter. Well, his curiosity perhaps got to the best of him, and he began to read the rest of the letter. Well, this man here, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, got a letter. Do you know who he got a letter from? Jehovah. You know, in the French translation, maybe it's the same in the Spanish translation, Italian, and so on, but it doesn't use the name Jehovah. L'Eternel. The Eternal One. Oh, the Eternal One. The One who dwells in eternity. The One without a beginning, without an end. The One who knew us before the foundation of the world. The Eternal One dictated a letter to Jeremiah for this king, the son of Josiah. I see some boys here that are sons of fathers. This boy had a real privilege. He lived a privileged life. He was the king of Israel, or the king of Judah, I should say. And God loved him. God loves you. Doesn't want you to perish in your sins. God loved this man so much, he had his prophet Jeremiah write a letter to him. He says in verse 3 of Jeremiah 36, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil that I purpose to do unto them, and that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. It may be that the reading of the precious Word of God tonight in your ears will have an effect. God never gives us His Word as a source of entertainment or a source of strictly knowledge. He desires to speak to our hearts. He desires to speak to our consciences. He desires us to know his thoughts, his intents. And all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, this man, you know, he got a letter because God loved him. And it says in verse 23 that he cut, as the letter was being read, I think in Mr. Darby's translation it says column by column. After a column or two was read, he took his knife and he slit it, and he put the page into the fire. He didn't want to hear it. We find later on in this book, next chapter I think it is, that the letter was rewritten. Exactly the same thing. God is not going to be defeated. If you don't want to hear his word, God's going to bless. Is there a portion of the word of God that you don't like to hear? That you don't want to read? You know, dear brother Gordon Hale used to say to us as young people, that's the very portion of scripture that you need to get into the presence of God with. Get into your room all by yourself, on your knees. Were to open up your Bible on the bed and read that very portion of scripture. Cry to the Lord for help to submit to that one portion of scripture that your heart will not yield to. Will you yield to Christ tonight? Lo, I have loved you, saith the Lord. I am the Lord, I change not. Oh, the Lord desired this man that would have blessing. But you know what happens to a man that doesn't receive the word of God? He goes out into a lost eternity, and it says in chapter 37, verse 1, it says, the king Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned in the stead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. Well, in this little passage, we're not told how this man, Jehoiakim, died. But I believe he died without the knowledge of the true God. He didn't repent. And you, this evening, are sitting in a place where we have an open Bible to be able to speak of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus and how, even as young boys, even as young girls, we can buy a copy of the Word of God and read it and have a message from God himself and thank him for that message. You know, there was a man that I used to do business with whose daughter got saved. We did business for years, and every now and then we would sit at a restaurant or sit in his car and we would talk about the Lord. And one day his daughter got saved. God works in families, isn't that nice? God was working in Josiah's family. Josiah loved the Lord. God wanted his family to go on. But this man, you know, he came to my office one day and he was crying. Fathers, it's good that your sons see your cry sometimes. That things mean something. It's all right. Don't you think there were tears shed as those two walked from Emmaus? From Jerusalem to Emmaus. Don't you think there were tears shed? Don't you think there were tears shed as they walked back to Jerusalem? I believe there was some real feeling. Well, this man, he came into my office and he said his daughter got saved and she sent him a letter and she sent him a Bible. And he said, what does she mean she got saved? Please tell me what she means she got saved. Do you know what it means to get saved? It means to be saved from the judgment of a holy God who hates sin and can never have a sinner in his presence that's unclean. It means to be saved on a righteous basis because the Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that we could have our sins washed away in his precious blood. It means to be saved from judgment by the Lord Jesus, by his precious work on the cross of Calvary. And that man that day that he got that Bible in the mail and a letter from his daughter, sat in his car in the rain on a Friday afternoon, and he determined that he wouldn't leave that place until he got saved himself. And he took Christ as a Savior, and he began to read that Bible. It's made a change in his life, made a change in the way he thinks, made a change in the kind of friends that he has. It's made a change. Dear friends, tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Oh, if you haven't tonight taken Christ as your Savior, won't you accept him, receive him as Savior? You know, I read a little bit earlier and later on in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says, I am the Son of God. He sent a message himself to you. He said, I am the Son of God. He that believeth in me shall never perish. Well, let's sing one more hymn in closing. Number 12. Let's stand for this. And while we stand and sing this little hymn, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, pray to him. Tell him you want to be saved from judgment and receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Number 12.
Thank you.
tell you the conclusion of that little story that I told you about my father. That godly grandmother, Poole, went home to be with the Lord in 1961. And she prayed for those boys. And there was fruit. God answered her prayers. And there are some grandmothers here and there's some mothers. And the boys are spending all day long in the bar. Or worse, pray for them. God hears the prayers of mothers and grandmothers. And if there's a young person here that's going on with the drink, going on with things that you shouldn't be going on with, be sure your sin will find you out. The little fox of drink became a big fox for Bert Poole, and it took his life before he was 70 years old. It's a serious thing to presume upon the grace